to, of course, say this. No relationships for me to disclose. And I just wanted to make a few acknowledgments to our session presenters, to APHA staff who support us on the Action Board, JPC, and the Science Board. And also, this session hasn't actually been done at APHA for a couple years. And so Action Board Policy Committee said, hey, let's bring it back. So we looked at all the materials that, you know, we've had in the past related to this session, and we developed, you know, things to update it. So I do want to thank the Policy Session Development Subcommittee who played a role in this in addition to our session presenters. Yes? I believe so. I believe so. If you have queued into the Learning Institutes, you know, as that additional service, that also gives you access to the recordings. So that's an additional cost of, I think, $55 or $60.
That's just for credit. I mean, that's just for credit. Yeah, they're all up there.
Well, right, but I mean, you can.
I think if you pay to come to the meeting, you'll have access to the.
To the PowerPoints, but not to the recordings.
You don't want to, you don't have them.
Just call us. And that's what I want to say. All of us here, this is just to, you know, kind of bring it all, you know, face to face. But we are here as resources throughout the year. That's part of our job. Okay, so don't worry if nothing, you know, kind of feels like, you know, you need more questions answered and we don't have time here. We can spend more time with you throughout the year. Okay. Okay, so I just gave you an overview here of who's going to be doing what, so I'm going to move along. All right, so just as a quick review about, you know, what our policy statement development process really results in, you know, our whole process here that is very, very intricate at APHA, our statements, you know, really can be used for both targeted and holistic advocacy activities for the betterment of public health. So you can use one policy statement in advocacy, or you could use a host of them. So it really depends on what your advocacy goals are. Our whole process still remains the process by which policy gap areas and updates to policy statements can be addressed. And I just want to spend a quick minute on talking about updating policy statements. We have so much emphasis on our policy calendar regarding asking all of you to participate in reviewing new policy statements and to also review which policy statements might, you know, be recommended for archiving. But we haven't really spent enough time on saying what should we really do to update those policy statements that do kind of exist in this list of updating or even recommendations that have been made during the archiving process for updating. So one of our hopes and part of our plan over time is to actually address that a little bit more to assist you as the membership to be able to do that. Okay. And so also, you know, what we're going to do today, I'm going to go through it real quickly, is go through the array of scheduled activities that are on our APHA policy calendar. That policy calendar is updated every year after the annual meeting, and it lists everything month by month. Okay, so I'm going to actually start in December, assuming that, you know, we've had our annual meeting in October or November. And so in December, that's when we do post the gap list for policies, and that's posted on the APHA website. Some of those policy gaps are developed by the staff, and some of them are also suggested by membership. So if you do have suggestions, you know, please let us know. Okay, and as I was saying about the updating policy statements, on the calendar, you actually won't see something regarding updating policy statements, but just keep in mind that all of that process follows the same process that we're going to go through month by month, as if you were almost submitting a new proposed policy statement. February, big, big deadline. Proposed new policy statements are due. So just keep that in mind if you are here to kind of take back some, you know, real important takeaways. February, that is a non-negotiable month. We will actually post the actual date on the website, but, you know, keep that in mind. April, we skip March because we're kind of doing some administrative stuff, you know, in between then. And in April, that's when actually member comments are due on the proposed new policy statements. So once the new policy statements are posted on the website, we then send out facilitative emails to everybody in the sections. And that comes from the Action Board to actually ask you to participate in reviewing the We have a form that we actually send you, and then that form is something that you would actually send directly to APHA staff, and the JPC then kind of takes that and looks at all of the feedback. Okay, then what we also do on the action board is we prepare a list of policy statements that we, you know, kind of think should be recommended for archiving. And that could range anywhere from 20 to, you know, 40 statements that we really kind of want to say we need to put those in our archiving database because they really aren't, you know, usable for, you know, contemporary advocacy. And let me also make a quick aside, Betty Daniels here and myself and others on the action board, we are waiting to get out of the 1960s of reviewing the archiving recommendations. So hopefully in the next year we can get into the 1970s. Right. Okay, going to May. May is also a very important month because this is when the Science Board and the Joint Policy Committee, the JPC, meet to review the new proposed policy statements and member comments. And that's also the month that JPC sends their review letters to authors of the new proposed policy statements. And you will be hearing a lot more about that in this session. June, that's another participatory time where we have facilitated your participation to actually send in your member comments for policy statements that we're, you know, putting up on the docket for potential archiving and or updating. And then in July and August, you know, our work does not stop. You know, we are going throughout the year and the summer. In July and August, then the Action Board Policy Committee actually has a lot of work before it. And we review the submitted recommendations for the policy statements that have been recommended for archiving or other actions. And we prepare the report to the JBC. So that is something that comes directly from the Action Board to the JPC. One of the things I did want to highlight, and certainly if you've got some feedback about this after the meeting or even, you know, during some Q&A, is 2 years ago we went to automating how you actually send in your recommendations for archiving. And we thought that that would be really great for you and also for the tedious process that used to exist to actually do all that assessment. September, October, APHA's Executive Board and the JPC meet to discuss and come to agreements on the initial consent calendar for the annual meeting that includes new proposed policy statements, those that kind of got through, and policy statements recommended for archiving. And then in October, we actually have member comments that are due on the archiving consent calendar, so there is some public awareness that can be generated once again. And then also that month is when late-breaking new proposed policy statements are due 10 days before the annual meeting. So as you know, there's a lot of flurry of activity before the annual meeting, but that is a deadline, 10 days before the annual meeting. So here we are, November, public hearings for new proposed policy statements. I can imagine that some of you in the audience attended that. JPC develops its final recommendations so that all of this can go to Governing Council so that the votes in Governing Council can take place on both the new proposed policy statements and those recommended for archiving. After the annual meeting, everything that's been voted on is posted on the APHA website. New policy statements are edited a bit, added to the database, and those policy statements that are voted to be archived are removed from the archive database and placed in another real archive database. So they never really go away. They just are removed from our active database because what we want to have in the policy statement database are things that really are usable. Okay? So that's really what I wanted to give as an overview. Any quick questions about that? They can be from individuals, for sure, and then we do have on all of our forms, you know, some questions that say, you know, has this been, you know, approved by the section chair, you know, who actually is submitting, and we do count the individual comments, for sure, but it has to be designated, you know, in that way.
And it is always strongly encouraged to be a section. It's nice to have, like, a unified voice of the section.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I'm here on the ARGC from New Mexico, and the current chair of the
Sure. And if you'd like to talk after this meeting, we can talk a little strategy if you'd like. Yes. Well, you know, I don't know if we really have, an organized record as to how many sections or even individuals have proposed them. But a lot of times, issues are emerging, over the course of the year or even at the meeting. And so, what we want to encourage is exchange between membership and staff, so that we can kind of be all like-minded, in that process. So, it honestly doesn't matter if your section, has ever, let's say, suggested anything. It's really more about what do you think can really be helpful for the betterment of public health. And if you've done some kind of assessment of the policy statements in the database and you see, hey, we're really kind of lacking in this area, we really should be updating, this set of policies, that's the kind of stuff that we'd love to know. So. In terms of actually identifying policy gaps, Don, you want to speak to that?
Some don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1 year, yes. The next year, maybe.
Right. It is kind of random, but it is part of something that in the action board. I'm just going to speak from the action board perspective at the moment. The policy committee that we have on the action board, we do want to kind of expand the kind of facilitative participation activities that we can kind of move forward. And that is one of them, making it easier for people to know, well, if you want to suggest, a policy gap area, what do you do? So we do need to work on that from a communication point of view.
So I'll follow up on her question.
Sure.
So what is the recommended route for, let's say we're not going through sections, which apparently have sort of more of a direct line to that kind of feedback, but there are systematic reviews that have been done on the policy database by caucus.
Okay.
How would we go about communicating that to the action board or to whoever sets those policy gaps?
Okay. So we're listed, on the APHA website, who's serving in what role, and then the staff, like Don, and there's also a couple other staff, Nicole Berta and Amanda Yon.
And,
okay. Well, we have our contact information up there, as co-chairs of the policy committee, and just, contact us like we're any other member, and then we will, certainly take that to committee and, talk about it on the action board, and, we really want to have a very open, transparent exchange kind of process. So, we're not over there and behind the curtain, in Oz. We really want to be out there and, be talking with you. So.
And so, for purposes of disclosure, I'm the chair of the caucus on homelessness.
Oh.
And we.
Nice to meet you. I'll be seeing you tomorrow.
We're putting some work into developing policy.
Okay.
We haven't done.
Right.
There are a couple of policies on the topic and within the database, but it's very outdated. We wouldn't want the team relying on those for any kind of evidence. It would sound like they time travel. So we want to be engaged in trying to resolve those.
Okay.
So I guess my question also is there a way that the caucuses can get involved while outside of the, I know that we all have section memberships. So it might stay involved through medical care and other sections. Is there a way that the caucus is directly involved in policy review and feedback as well as the process is getting started?
I'm going to go over that.
Yeah. I was going to say Betty's going to go over that. And also, in terms of just kind of addressing what you're saying about old policies, we want to show that we're updating. There is that section, and Sonia will actually go over this, but I'll just say it quickly here. You always want to locate those policy statements that are relevant, even if they're old, to the section in the policy development form, so that it looks like, okay, you've done the homework. It also adds to you making your case, and then it certainly shows, say, wow, there's been a gap here for 20 years of nothing really being current.
Yeah, you can set up a policy as either replacing old policy.
Right.
Or
right. Okay. Yes. So, thank you for that. We can talk more about that. I'm going to move on to let Sonia come. come on up.